Why don't you grab your Bibles and go to number 6. God does not just forgive us and then leave us the way we are. Forgiveness that you receive from God that go beyond forgiveness. So in Numbers chapter 6, we are returning once again to what is called the Aaronic, not ironic, Aaronic blessing, meaning the blessing pertaining to Aaron, who is the first priest in the line of all of the priests that come after him. So we're going to be at Numbers 6. And we're going to start at verse 22, just before the blessing. Yahweh is speaking. He says to Moses, "The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons," and that means tell all of the priests, "this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." And the next verse is so important. "So," this is still Yahweh speaking, "so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. This is the word of the Lord." Thanks be to God indeed, especially for this one. There isn't simply forgiveness for God's people. There is also blessing upon blessing upon blessing for God's forgiven people. I'm going to go through this blessing relatively quickly. This probably won't be a full-length sermon. So we're going to go quickly. When we talk about blessing, the first place that you need to start is Genesis chapter 1. It's the first time that the word is used. It shows up, you know, the first page of the Bible. So why don't you look at that? Genesis chapter 1 and starting at verse 28. This is absolutely crucial for understanding blessing. It's the sixth day at this point in the narrative. And in verses 26 and 27, God makes humankind in his own image. The image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And then verse 28, God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it and rule over everything there is," essentially. This is where we begin to understand blessing, because blessing is always linked to fruitfulness, and fruitfulness is related to the job God has given us to do in the world. That's what blessing is always intended to be about. God wants you and I to become fruitful people who do what we were always, always intended to do. So anytime that we receive any sort of blessing from God, we say, "Thank you." And then we say, "How does this relate to my purpose? Why am I here, God? Why have you put me here? And what do you intend to do in me and through me with this blessing?" God gives us lots of good things. But why? What is your purpose? What is your purpose as an individual? I'm not talking about you as a church body, not the corporate you, the single, the individual you. What's your purpose? Do you know your purpose? If you don't know your purpose, if it doesn't automatically come to mind to you, you need to look in two places. You need to look at yourself for the places where God has gifted you, and in the desires and passions that he has given you. And there, at the intersection of those two things, God's gifts and the desires God has given you, you will find your purpose. And we can chat more about that sometime if you want. But blessing is for the sake of those purposes. The blessing is so that you are fruitful in the areas that God wants you to be fruitful, so that his purposes in creation actually go forward. The blessings that God gives us are so that we can continue to relate to him and do what he's asked us to do in the world. Whether it's nursing or teaching or homeschooling or gardening, whatever it is, right? We just go on and on and on. But the blessings relate to our purpose. So may the Lord bless you. May the Lord make you fruitful in the places where he especially wants you to fulfill the reasons that he put you on the earth. Why are you here? Why am I here, God? Start asking him and start looking in those places of gifting and passion. Lord bless you and keep you. What's keeping? We talk about an innkeeper. We talk about a zookeeper. We talk about a groundskeeper. What's keeping? It's looking after something, right? God is our keeper. God wants to and does look after us. It's provision, it's protection, and more. In fact, Psalm 121, if you go there later, you will find Psalm 121 going on and on about God being our keeper. He will protect you, he will guard you, and so on. Check that out sometime. May he make his face to shine upon you. Is this shining or is this shining? Might not shine as much as I would like, but it's shining more than, you know, this, right? The face shining is smiling. Right? That's the whole purpose of the metaphor, that God's face lights up at you, and the priests bless the people. God tells the priests to bless the people. I want my people to make my face light up. I want to smile on my people, and I bless them so that they will have greater and greater ability and opportunity to make me smile. God actually does enjoy you and wants to enjoy you even more. I was talking to Rita Hain the other week, and she was telling me a story about how when their family got together months and months ago, there was one point where they just had a baby on the floor, and everyone was sort of just gathering around and admiring the baby, and everyone was just smiling. They were having their own conversations, interactions, and all that, but they just kept coming back to the baby and enjoying the baby on the floor. God enjoys you in that way. You make him smile. Maybe... if you haven't had that experience, maybe you've been a coach on a team, and there have been moments in the life of that team that have just brought joy and life to your eyes and to your face as you see them doing what you've been training them to do. Or maybe you're a little kid and you've been training a dog or a horse or something like that, and they finally do what you got them. You've been working so hard with them to do, and your face lights up when they actually do it. God delights in us, and he is working with us, and he blesses us that we might make his face light up, might shine. The priests say, and God says, may you have regular moments of making God's face light up and smile on you and be gracious to you. Well, you know what that means. God acts favorably towards those that he likes, who make him smile, and he will be gracious to us. God's generosity, his ongoing generosity to us. I want to spend slightly more time on the turn the face, though. May he turn his face toward you. What's this? God turning his face toward us, or lifting up his face toward us, depending on your translation. Picture God at his desk. Picture God on the Zoom call. And on the Zoom call, you got all of the gallery. If you go to gallery view, right, you can see all of the different living rooms and faces. And picture God at his desk, and he's on the Zoom call, right? He's got all of the different, he's got his gallery open, and he can see it all happening at once. And he's working away, and there are calls coming in. There are tweets. There are Snapchats. There are text messages. There are phone calls. There are emails constantly coming in with prayer requests. He's got angels coming and going, and he's listening to their reports, and he's delegating at the same time. God's got a lot to do. He's got a lot on his hands, and he manages it quite well. We're not criticizing God at all. But God can give you blessings while he's at work, as it were, right? He can smile as he thinks about you and sees you on the screen as he is at work. But The turn the face toward you is when God gets up from his desk and sits down on the couch and looks you straight in the face and you have his undivided attention. That's what turn the face toward you means. That is the level of attention that the priests, that God himself tells the priests, I want you to bless these people in such a way that they receive my undivided attention. It's sort of like I'm the one who primarily does the dishes at home. It's one of my roles around our place. I like doing the dishes. I put my headphones in, I put on a podcast or some music, and I'm working away. I like having my hands in warm soapy water or loading the dishwasher or whatever, bringing order to chaos and all that. And every once in a while, my kids will come in and they'll show me, you know, this amazing rock that they discovered, or the Silas will show me this plant that he's been growing or something like that. And, you know, I'm cleaning up the kitchen and sort of like, I give them enough attention to let them know that I have acknowledged what they have shown me. But it's not the same thing as when there's something important and it's not the rock or the plant or something, and I take out my headphones and I dry off my hands and I get down to their level and I sit and I listen with undivided attention. That's what God is praying. That's what God tells the priests to bless the people with, that they might have more and more increasing experiences in their lives of God's undivided attention on them. And you, and me. May he do that. Because when we get God's undivided attention, what he brings is peace. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. Shalom. Have you seen the show, The Chosen, yet? Yeah, some nods. Those of you who haven't seen The Chosen, you need to see The Chosen. Like, it's excellent. For those of you who don't know what The Chosen is, The Chosen is a show that you can actually download from your phone. So you don't have to have Netflix or some other subscription to get it. It's free. You just go to whatever app store you access from your phone. You download The Chosen. It's all free. And The Chosen is a show about the life of Jesus and his disciples. But unlike every other Jesus thing I've ever seen, this is actually a really engaging and compelling Jesus. Like, this is like actually a guy I would like to know and spend time with, and so on. And they bring the storylines of the disciples to life, and they do it quite faithfully to the history and the culture at the time. It's fantastic. Like, it's binge-worthy, actually, at times. And I have thoroughly enjoyed this, and I'm not sure I've ever really enjoyed a Jesus film. To be honest, they tend to be kind of cheesy, but this is just excellent. And I bring that up to say that as you go through the show, you notice that they constantly greet one another with the word shalom, shalom, shalom Shabbat on the Sabbath, and they say shalom whether they're greeting or whether they're waving goodbye, kind of like salut in French, right? Shalom, shalom. You hear it constantly. But what is shalom? Shalom is not just peace. Shalom is a wish, a prayer that God make your life flourish, that you have well-being like you have never experienced before, that you actually fulfill your design and your purpose that we just talked about in Genesis 1. That's what shalom is. Shalom is when you actually have abundant life with God. That's the wish. That's the prayer. That's why they greet one another with shalom, because it is the highest thing that they can ask for in their cultural experience, in their scriptures. Shalom is Genesis 1, when God says, and it was very good. That's shalom. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That's what God is aiming for. That's what God wants for your life and for mine. May he turn his face toward you and give you not the absence of conflict. May he give you shalom. May you enjoy life with him, and may he make you flourish the way he always designed you to be. It's fulfillment of design and purpose. On our honeymoon, Chantal and I went to see the movie Must Love Dogs, which is a romantic comedy that was out at the time. And in this movie, there, the main character, one of the main characters, John Cusack plays this guy, and he is a tradesman. He's an artist, really. He creates boats. He crafts them by hand out of wood, which means they're terribly expensive and terribly inefficient. And everyone thinks they're beautiful, but no one wants to buy them or use them in the water or anything like that. And he's having trouble. His business is just going under because he has amazing artistry, but he can't sell these things. And he finally lines up a buyer for this one boat. And as they're making the final exchange, the boat is on a trailer right beside him, ready to be unloaded or transferred. And the buyer is just writing out the check or something. And the buyer, John Cusack, says to the buyer, "So are you excited to get this thing in the water?" And the guy looks at him and he's like, "I'm going to cut this thing in half and mount it on my wall." And John Cusack goes, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't sell this thing to you." And the guy's like, "What? Like, you're broke. Like, I'm here. I got the money right here." And he's like, "You know," Cusack's like, I can't. I always had this dream that it would get wet. Because there's design and purpose in the artistry. That's what shalom is all about. There's design and there's purpose in what God does in us. And at the end of the movie, you actually see John Cusack rowing this thing down the river. So you have sort of the fulfillment and the completion of shalom there, as the artist, as the designer, is using what he has designed and built in the purpose for which it was designed. And that's what shalom is all about. That's the prayer that God wants, or the blessing that God wants for his people. That we actually fulfill our design and our purpose, and that we do so with the presence of God right in the middle of it, making it all happen. That's what it's all about. Because the blessings aren't complete if God himself isn't in the middle. We still lack blessing until God is in the middle of it. And it's not possible. We don't get blessings, the fulfillment of those blessings, unless he turn his face toward us, unless he give us the attention that brings us shalom. Now, last week, when I referenced these verses, we talked about that verse at the beginning and that verse at the end, but I want to go back over that again. Verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, quote, "Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites." And then he names the blessing, says the blessing. And then Yahweh concludes, "So I will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them." In other words, priests, when you bless people, I will bless them. When you do something, when you speak something, I will do something as a result. Do you see that in the text? Because it's really important that you see it in the text so that you believe it. It's not just this guy up front. When you bless them, I will bless them. When you speak this, I will do things among your people I would not otherwise have done had you not spoken this over them. So what I want to do is take God at his word this morning. Do you believe that? That when someone speaks the blessing over you, God does something as a result. I am going to speak blessings from Scripture over you. You can do this as well. I'm not the only priest. We are all priests. The New Testament makes that absolutely clear. But I'm the one with the microphone. So I'm gonna do the blessing this morning. And what I would like you to do is sit, close your eyes, open your hands if you would like, as a sign, as a posture of prayer, as a posture of expectancy that God actually does this, and receive it. Say yes to yourself with expectancy. And this is long, so it's not three verses. So receive it. These are all straight from the Bible. I am not going to quote the Bible passage specifically that I'm referencing in each blessing. You can talk to me afterwards if you want them or didn't recognize them. But receive these. I bless this church with the promise that the priest blesses the people and the Lord agrees and sends blessings and his presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bless you with poverty of spirit and the King and his kingdom as a result. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the welcome home of the prodigal, the embrace of the father, and the celebration of the village. I bless you with healing, body and soul. By his wounds you are healed. I am the Lord who heals your diseases. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with a Jesus who is strong enough to carry your burdens and kind enough to offer again today to take those burdens from you. I bless you with personal revival like Zacchaeus, like Peter after his reconciliation with Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, like the disciples in Acts 4, who'd already been filled in Acts 2, but God decided to give them more anyway. More, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with encounters with the living God, like Moses on the mountain, like Saul on the road, like Isaiah in the temple, like Jeremiah at his call, like the disciples breaking bread at Emmaus and John on the island of Patmos in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, privileged to encounter the cosmic Christ. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I bless you with the tenacity of Jacob to wrestle with God and like him to tell God, I won't let you go until you bless me. I bless you with the burden to pray that through you, God would do greater things than Christ did, because Christ has gone to the Father just as he promised. I bless you with evangelism that is more than an invitation to church. I bless you with the ability to tell the story of meeting Jesus like the woman at the well. I bless you with love for enemies, compassion for the broken, and a burden for the lost. I bless this church with the abundant life, that there's more on offer than we've ever experienced with God. We receive it, Lord. I bless this church with the courage to pursue God at any cost and with disdain for the fear of man. I bless us with the recognition that new wine needs new wine skins. I bless you with Christ's dissatisfaction over a lukewarm church where he stands outside the building knocking. I bless this church with a gospel that is not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in deep conviction, like it was to the Thessalonians. I bless this church with ears to hear God's voice, the eyes that walk by faith, not by sight, and with hearts that are soft and responsive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I speak that name over the leadership of Unity Baptist, and I bless them with the power from on high, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened and we may walk in step with the Spirit. I bless each one of you with daily withdrawals from the bank account of every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I bless each person listening, both here and online, both now and in the future. May the love of God the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit be yours now and forever. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. Receive that, friends. This is the conclusion of our worship service. I will conclude with one more blessing. There is the discussion group that will be available for those who are online. I will get to it when I'm finished saying hello to people here. So once again, I bless you. May the Father bless you and keep you. May the Son make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Spirit turn his face toward you and give you shalom. Go in peace, my friends. Blessing upon blessing on you, in Jesus' name. Bye to those who are online. Take care.